Open your Bibles with me to the book of Judges. We won't get very far tonight in this, and we really have you just to hold your finger in Judges and just remind you a little bit of where we've been and how that we've seen in the Bible survey the sinful fall of man in Genesis and the deliverance of man in Exodus. And now, these were all literal events that took place that Moses recorded for us, but at the same time, they picture so vividly the human experience in our lives, your experience and mine, and that we have that inherent nature that we're born with, that we have a propensity to sin. And we needed an outside force to come and save us, to deliver us. And Exodus is a picture of that. Exodus is Moses coming in, sent by God to deliver them out of Egypt. And through the course of the deliverance, remember right away, they came to the place of the promised land and through lack of faith and obedience to God, they didn't go. They wouldn't go in. And God sent them wandering in the wilderness 40 years. 40 years that generation died in the wilderness. And we come to the book of Joshua and it starts out, Moses is dead. And Joshua, you take over and lead him into the promised land. And we talked about this a lot, that the crossing of Jordan is a picture of the believer entering into that promised land, that land of rest. But the book of Joshua is a book of warring. And that's not a contradiction. It is a place of resting in Christ. But as we're resting in Christ, as we're endeavoring to walk the faithful walk in Christ, the battle is constant. Listen, before the Lord saved me, there was no warring that went on in my soul, in my flesh. I was talking today, and the one lady named Ruth to my right, I said something about that I'm a sinner. I'm now a sinner saved by grace. And the difference is that before I was a sinner, I loved to sin. And oh, Ruth said, well, didn't we all? And I said, yeah, that's our nature. But after the Lord saved me, I hate to sin. I do. I stumble. I fall. I fail. But I hate it. Entering into the promised land, crossing Jordan and entering into that place of rest is a picture of the believer finding that place of spiritual rest in Christ, but then the battle begins. The battle to conquer the flesh. In their day, in Joshua, the battle to conquer the land and to occupy the land and break down the strongholds of the land and eradicate all that were not of them. Therein lies the dilemma for the children of Israel. They never did do that. They never completely eradicated the people of Canaan. Never got it done. The Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all the Termites, and they never quite got rid of all of them. And there were always, if you leave two, what's going to happen in time? There's going to be four. And then there's going to be eight. And there are going to be more. And they never quite got rid of them. And that'll be dealt with in the book of Judges. Now in Joshua, now I'm just setting up the context here. In Joshua 24, let me get to the right page here. Joshua 24, 31. So you're just backing up a page from the beginning of Judges. And it says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Let that just soak in for a minute. Joshua served after Moses died, led the people of Israel approximately 24 years. 24 years. Not that every battle was a victory. We remember Joshua 6, and Ai defeated them terribly. Not that every battle was a victory, but that in the main they were going in the direction of an obedient path to God. And the Bible records that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. The generation of Joshua, those that were there and on the scene, stayed true to the Lord and followed the Lord. What happens so often, I know we're seeing it in the human experience, or the American experience, that the generation, that the founding of our country has been several generations past, and we've drifted drastically from the founding roots of our country. Well, this text tells us that those of the generation of Joshua, those that saw and observed the hand of God delivering them, they stayed true. But a new generation inevitably rises up. Enter in now then to the book of Judges. Judges picks up where Joshua left off. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Now, Judah as an individual has long since been gone. But Judah, the tribe, is there, and God appoints Judah, the tribe of Judah, to take the lead in eradicating the Canaanites. There's still a lot to do in the land of Canaan. Remember, we read last week that the Lord came to Joshua and said, "You're getting old, but there's still a lot of battles to fight." And when he died, there's still a lot of battles to fight. And it's a picture of the fact that it doesn't matter how long we stay on this earth, we never get to the place where we can let our guard down. Brother Bourne is fairly famous for saying, "It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how much I know about the Bible. If I'm in a given situation, I'd like to think that I would do what I know I ought to do, but I recognize that I don't always do that. I recognize that I might miss the mark." And that will be true of us in our lives as long as we have breath in our bodies. And we can never let down. Paul said, "It is not like I have attained some level of maturity, and I've now reached this plateau." Paul said, "No, in Philippians 3, I press to the mark. I keep pressing to the mark." And they had to keep pressing. There was still a lot of strongholds to tear down in the land of Canaan. Judges is a book in answer to the question of the first verse. After the death of Joshua, there the children of Israel asked the Lord, "Who?" They were looking for that specific single leader. Well, by the name of Judges, we understand that God raised up a series of judges. And that you can study through, and we won't get real specific, but you can see where God raised up these judges and a specific judge to lead in a specific campaign. And then that judge would die off. And then raise up another judge to lead in this campaign. And that judge would die off. Judges covers a span of about 450 years. But they're in a place where there's no one Moses-type guy or Joshua-type guy. And Judges, hold your finger here in chapter 2. Judges 17:6 is really the summation of the mindset of the people of this day. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. You know what that is? There's one word for it, and it starts with an A. Anarchy. Lawlessness. If I think it's right to murder, I'll murder. If my moral code says it's all right to abort babies, I'll abort babies. If my moral code says it's all right to steal, I'll steal. It's anarchy. And the children of Israel fell back into a state of not walking faithfully with the Lord after the death of Joshua. Look at chapter 2, Judges chapter 2. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now he's reminding them now of some things that he told them in the past. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. They were not only not to make agreements with the people of the land, they were to wipe them out. They were to utterly destroy them. Don't save one. And he said, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, the people lift up their voice and wept. But you can read on the rest of the book of Judges, and by and large, they didn't listen. By and large, they did not rise up, band together, and obey God. There was a pocket of it here and a pocket of obedience there. And God would raise up a judge and they'd have a victory over here. But by and large, the message of the book of Judges is this. Be careful what you want. God may give it to you. Be careful what you want. God may just let you have it to your own destruction. Sometimes getting everything you want may cost you everything you have. And I'm talking in the spiritual sense. Getting what I want, doing what I want, achieving the goals that I want may cost me everything in my standing with God, in my right fellowship with the Lord. They did not drive out all the inhabitants of the land. And so the Lord said in verse 3, okay, let some of them stay, that they'll be a thorn in your flesh. Verses 6 through 10. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of God, being 110 years old, the servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in the Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A new generation rose up. Now I guess, hadn't thought of this, but something Moses told him in Deuteronomy 6, you make sure you teach your children. You make sure you keep it before them day in and day out. You make sure that when they're coming in, when they're going out, when they're rising up, when they're sitting down, you make sure the Word of God is in front of them every second of every day. And what just struck me is that in the process, they lost a generation. And part of that responsibility must lie on the parents of that generation. Part of it. But alas, a generation rose up and they didn't follow the Lord. So what miracles? What land? What are you talking about? Well, verse 11 through 15. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, one of the gods of the children of the land. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord unto anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. The Lord said, you want to keep some of the folks around here? You want to make league with some of the people around here? You want to marry some of the people around here? You want to have business and do commerce with some of the people around here? You want to bow to some of their gods? All right. Have at it. And he basically turned them over to themselves. He basically called this a thorn in the flesh that he intentionally allowed them to endure. Now, as a parent, I understand that. I remember this time that kerosene heaters were big, and we were somewhere when Jordan was just walking, and his kerosene heater in the middle of the room, and he wanted to touch that thing so bad. And I told him 2 or 3 times, Jordan, don't touch that thing. Well, that was all it took, you know. That was motivation for Jordan to go find out why. And finally, I saw him going over there, and I pretend like I didn't see him, and I let him touch it. He's crying and carrying on. I said, didn't I tell you not to touch it? I knew he was going to, and I'd seen him going towards, and I said, I'm not going to stop him. I'm going to let him do what he wants to do to teach him a lesson. That's a parallel to what's happening here. They did not honor God. They did not obey God. They wanted to go in a given direction. They wanted to do their own thing. And God said, okay. But it's going to be a thorn in your flesh. And look how far, and by the way, how quickly, they came from the people that served the Lord under Joshua. They let their guard down. They let their guard down and it come back to haunt them. Verse 16, nevertheless, and see, nevertheless sums up a truckload of doctrine. Because the Lord loved them, because the Lord had made covenant with them, because the Lord had endeavored to teach them a lesson, but he was going to bring them out of this situation. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges. But they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But talking about the fathers who obeyed the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. They didn't follow. There we see that in verse 16, the Lord raised up judges. They asked the question, who? And God began to raise up judges. And we'll, Lord willing, look more at that next week, more specifically. But they just let their guard down and fell back into, well, fell away from that life of rest. Labor to enter into that rest, Hebrews says. Labor, then, necessarily, to maintain that closeness with Christ. That famous line, it does not come quickly. This closeness to Christ does not come quickly, automatically, nor easily. It is something that once he has imparted new life, once he has given salvation, and we're truly a child of God, born from him, we then follow the model of Joshua, choose you this day. And tomorrow morning, choose you this day. And tomorrow morning, choose you this day. You're going to serve God? You're going to serve the gods of the world. Choose now. Don't put it off. Don't let your guard down. Every day that the sun comes up, choose you this day. That was Joshua's advice to them. Warning to them. They didn't follow it for long after he was alive, or after he was gone. Well, verse 17 we read where they went a-whoring after other gods. Verse 20 and 21. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Could I get rid of them? God said, yeah, I can get rid of them. I'm not going to. They're going to be thorns right there. Verse 22, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Of course, Joshua being spoken of here as Judah, those that were under his realm. And once again, we see how important it is in our daily lives to stay close to Him, to stay close to Him, to stay ever vigilant at maintaining closeness with Him. And Satan's so good, and we are so willing to let little things get between us and God. We are so quick to let little things take us away from that intimacy with the Almighty. And we're so quick to compromise in little ways that we really deep down we know we shouldn't be doing. But we go ahead and do it. I want to do this. And so because I want to do it, I'm going to do it. Look where it gets them. The anger of the Lord is upon them. Chapter 3, look at the first two verses and we'll wrap it up. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. And he goes on to list the nations. They were going to learn a lot of things. One of the things they were going to learn to fight. We're talking today at the nursing home about wisdom. And how that Solomon was wise. But the reality of it is, some of his wisdom he gained through failure. Some of his wisdom he gained through doing wrong. And then recognizing this was wrong. And he gained in wisdom by failure. And a part of the issue there with the Lord leaving some of the children of the land was to teach them a lesson, be a thorn in their side, and to remind them the importance of obedience. And then once again reestablish them in the fact that there's a fight. There's a battle that's got to be maintained. That battle for closeness that is being attacked on every level. And that battle still rages in your life and mine. That battle rages. If you have any desire at all to be close to the Lord, the battle heats up. Satan doesn't want you close to the Lord. You endeavor to be ever the more close to the Lord, and the battle heats up a little more. Listen, if you're out on the sidelines, if you're basically doing your own thing, there's not much of a battle there. But if you really want to follow the Lord closely, if I really want to battle or follow the Lord closely, it's going to take some battling. And we can't let down. And this young generation under us, we got to show them by example and by our lips the importance of obeying God. Show them how to do it. Show them what happens when we don't. And teach them that this is going to be a lifelong battle. Staying close to the Lord. But it's the only place to be. It's the only place to be. May God give us the wisdom and the strength to maintain, work towards maintaining that closeness. And not follow the pattern of judges here and falling away and falling into the chastising of God. Let's pray.